You're listening to the 8 for Comics podcast, sponsored by StashMyComics.com and our local comic book shop in Roanoke, Virginia, BNDComics.com. And now, here's your hosts, Matt Barrett and Neil Rickman.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the 8 for Comics podcast, finally at episode 13. Neil and I have been lost in time.
My favorite number is 13. This should be special. It's a special return, I guess.
Yeah, I am partial to the number 13 as well. It's always been a lucky number for me, and we hope that you all haven't missed us too much. We have been busy, say the least.
I moved. It's all my fault. I moved to an island with a smoke demon. I've been lost for a while, and I finally got off the island. Jack and Sawyer say hi.
I moved too, so that was the problem. Neil got a new job and moved, and then I just moved, and now we're an hour apart, but due to the miracle of Skype, we are resurrecting the show.
Yes, and the big blue S makes me think of Smurf, but yes, Skype.
like a super Smurf.
That one.
Yeah. There actually was a super Smurf. I had the little figure of him.
Oh, wow. Was it Brainy? Did Brainy, secretly turn into Super Smurf?
No, it was just, random extra Smurf.
Oh. Well, they weren't my Clark Kent deal there, so.
Right. Well, yeah. So now that you know why we're gone and what happened there, since we're back, we figured, hey, let's talk a little bit of news. Now, there hasn't been a whole lot going on lately in terms of super exciting stuff, but let's go ahead and touch on this Justice League 3000 thing first, shall we?
Let's touch it.
Because this is a book I was excited about. And I still am.
Go ahead.
I said I still am. I know you're a little perturbed at what happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge Justice League International fan. And the fact that that team was coming back, anytime they would come back and do something, I would get amped and I would follow it, whether it was more Justice League, whether it was the Defenders arc they did over on Marvel Stable. Just anytime they pop back up, it was something, I was excited because their stuff, it is a little bit less serious and it allows me to escape a little further from the world. So,
gotcha. Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, the artist Kevin Maguire was supposed to be working with his former collaborators, Keith Giffen and J.M. DeMatteis. I don't know how to say that.
DeMatteis? Yeah, I don't
DeMatteis.
Know either. DeMatteis. I love him. I don't know how to pronounce him.
Right. Yeah. And this is a Justice League set in the 31st century, which is kind of cool. So you're a few generations in the future. I love books like this because you don't have the baggage of the history. You can sort of start fresh and tell your own stories. And we got a futuristic-looking Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, and some sort of Flash speedster.
I'm excited to a point still, but it's part of me wonders why, what they did was pretty much what they did to Gail Simone. And I'm not saying that Maguire is, in Gail Simone's league, per se, as far as comic awesome. I don't know. I will say that his expressions are second to none as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
The way, even if it is a goofy book at times that he's on, the expressions could be in anything. He could have went dark and gritty. I could see him doing things that they wanted. But from what I can tell, and you can only tell from the outside, I don't know how it really is on the inside. It just seems like they canned him. No really explanation. Same thing that pretty much Gail got. I don't know if it was through email like she got.
Right.
But the only reason, the main reason I didn't drop this book is because even though the publishers are such snots at times, I love my comic store and it keeps, making their numbers jump up and down. They shouldn't have to suffer for the actions of these I don't know what to call them, these publishers that don't care about their talent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's no secret DC's had some editorial problems for taking people on and off books. And a classic example for me is Suicide Squad, which was one of my favorite books. And when it kind of tailed off and they hired this new writer, I can't remember his name at the moment. He wrote literally one issue and then they canned him for whatever reason and started somebody else. And so I was ready to jump back on board and I liked the issue the guy did. And then immediately I was like, you know what? I'm done. You can't keep switching on me like this over and over and over and expect me just to stick around. You make up your mind, let somebody have at least 6 issues, you know, if not 12.
And that brings up a good point. Imagine what kind of crazy world do these artists, these comic talents live in, your writer, artist, whatever, to where, oh, you're hired for an issue and then suddenly you're gone. Could you imagine coming to the work for a day? You just came in for orientation and they let you go?
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially what it feels like for me. And I don't, it's almost like pro wrestling, okay? I'm a bit of a pro wrestling fan here and there, but then I feel guilty for watching it because of how the talent's treated, I think.
Yeah.
And then the same thing for this now. I'm almost feeling guilty for certain books or certain published books I read because I'm like, are they just a slave to all this? Like, they can't escape?
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know.
And we've got Howard Porter replacing him. And I guess I'm not familiar with him. You might be a little more than I am. I know that people are fans of his from his work with, what's his name?
Grant Morrison's run?
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I didn't read any of that run, so I don't know.
I don't know if I did or not. I don't care. It was Grant. Like, I don't know. I don't want to go back and say I didn't like anything Grant Morrison did, because I did enjoy some of his work a lot.
Right.
But not his. He's not known to me for his Capes and Cal group, really. Right. I mean, Animal Man was something for a minute, and then We Three, but mm-hmm. Most of his work I enjoy without Capes and Cal, so that's me.
Gotcha. All right, well, we'll move on from that, and I felt it was worth mentioning, you know, this whole potential Flash series. Obviously, if you guys haven't heard, he's going to be coming to season 2 of Arrow, which I'm still not watching yet. I know you are.
Yeah, it's got its ups and downs, that series. I enjoy it, and I'll continue to watch it, and the hope, and that's the thing. I'm happy that I did continue to watch it, because now it's spurned something off of it that I was really hoping. I was hoping if this show got the support, it would give me heroes I'm more into. Not that I have anything against the Green Arrow,
right?
But I was never like huge into him. Now, The Flash, on the other hand, that means I could possibly see an awesome version of Captain Cold hit that screen.
Oh, yeah.
So that's – the Rogues have always been my draw for Flash, but still there's a chance of them being in there, and I hope they are. I will say I hope the villains – are taken care of a lot more so than in Green Arrow, because I feel like, other than some of the flashbacks with Deathstroke in that show, the villains haven't felt as strong to me as I would like them to be.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I would be all aboard for a Flash show. I'm definitely more excited about that than Green Arrow. Not that I wasn't a Green Arrow fan, but this, I've said this before to varying degrees, that this isn't my type of Green Arrow. I prefer the bearded older Ollie, as do a lot of people, but Flash, yeah. Unless they make it, what if they make it like an old guy Flash? That would suck.
It's like, it's like Jay. They bring in Jay, the Golden Age Flash.
Yeah, we didn't tell you, we're not doing Barry Allen Flash. We decided to go with Jay and his steel construction helmet with wings.
I would still love it.
Yeah, I'm okay with Jay.
For a different reason. I don't know who you get to play him. It'd be funny. Like William H. Macy or somebody.
That would almost
If you
work.
Loved the Shoveler and Mystery yes. Men, I mean, it would work.
Totally. All right. Well, let's wrap up the news. You got anything else?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, you remember the old TV show, The Flash?
I've seen pictures of it, but I never watched it.
There are two things I remember from that show, and it was actually pretty decent from what I remember, but I can't remember a lot about it. I think I didn't have good cable back then, and I was just watching it as I could here and there. I remember him eating cereal really fast, and I also remember that Mark Hamill was the trickster.
Ah, no way. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm like, well, maybe they'll get Mark Hamill to come back as the Trickster.
That'd be excellent.
I think he's a little older now. Not that I don't love him. Yeah. And not that I don't think he'll make an awesome older Jedi. So, I mean, that's just me. I don't know what you think about that. But.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going to have to go look this up now, darn it. Well, not right this second. All right.
Well, he had the laugh down, you know, from being the Joker and all those voiceovers he did.
Yeah, I mean,
he had a great laugh for it. It was really scary.
His voice talents are incredible. Here's to you, Mark Hamill. All right, we'll wrap up the news and start going into what we would call reviews. We're not going to do anything necessarily in depth. We've read a lot, so we're going to kind of purge on some of the things we've been reading. There might be some spoilers here and there, so if you hear us talk about a book that you haven't read yet, just be forewarned, there might be some things spoiled in there. We'll try not to go too crazy.
Yeah, and I would like to also point out we're not really doing a swap right now because of our separation and distance and everything.
Yeah, we'd have to drive an hour to swap stuff, so yeah.
Let's start leaving books in your cubby at the shop. Like, oh, no, here you go.
There you go. All right, let's go into comic talk. Okay, so when you hear... Here, I'm going to throw something out for you. When you hear the words Perfect Storm, what do you think of?
George Clooney, and that should not be.
I was thinking Mark Wahlberg, so that should not be as well. Wasn't he in that movie too?
I think so. Yours is definitely better. Why did I go with Clooney?
No, when I go ahead.
I guess it's because I'm a huge Brother We're Out There fan.
Okay, yeah, you know, it's a great movie.
That's fun.
Great soundtrack. Now, when I think of Perfect Storm, I think of Gail Simone writing Red Sonja.
It's really good.
It's good.
I won't spoil anything for you. I read issue 2.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Before the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, for those of you who aren't familiar with Red Sonja, go check it out. Go look it up. Dynamite has some great Red Sonja, not just by Gail Simone, but lots of other folks. And I actually went back and got the first omnibus digitally. It was on sale like half off when Gail's book came out, so... I read that and loved it. Love what Gail Simone is doing. Now, hers is just called Red Sonja. There's still another title called Red Sonja She-Devil that is still going on. And
Go ahead. I had no idea another title was still going on. Wow.
Yeah, because when I looked this up, I thought, okay, well, she's just taking over and they're starting it over. But if you check out the solicitations, you'll notice that the old one is still going on, so...
Now I kind of feel bad. I feel like, and Conan's got the same thing, although Conan did get taken over by Ryan Wood. They started over, but now they have a King Conan by like a lesser known team. And I'm wondering like, wow, I wonder if that book's really great too. I'm just not on it because it doesn't have the star power.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, and there's a Queen Sonja too, that I believe is still going. So.
Oh, wow.
That holds out hope that we could have a union between those two, don't you think? Once again?
I do. I'm hoping for
King Conan and Queen Sonja. It has to happen.
It'd be pretty awesome. I'm still hoping for, and this is going to sound silly because it is. I guess I really want Conan and Sonya to cross over.
Right.
But then there's something else coming out that, they're revamping something else. That's very Swords and Shields and High Adventure. And it's another company, like Dark Horse has one, Dynamite has one, and then like IDW is about to bring something out, and I can't think of it. It's killing me.
Hmm.
And I think I put myself down for it. That's how bad it's getting for me.
No, those kind of books are fun. And Red Sonja, Gail's done a great job already, I think, with, you know what she's added to this book that I think it has kind of needed is just a little bit of humor. And, you know, she's definitely made Red Sonja a little more humorous than I have read, at least in the omnibus. She's still a seriously awesome warrior, and you should definitely fear her. But There's some comedy going on in there, and that sort of mixed with the, you know, fantasy swords and dungeons and creatures is a nice mix.
Yeah, I agree there. It was now sometimes those books can take themselves very serious and it's fine. I think there's definitely room for that.
Yeah.
But not, you can't do it always, because if you look at the subject material that a lot of it's drawn from,
mm-hmm.
a lot of it seems a little bit to us now, maybe a little silly, I don't know, at times, yeah. Because they're like, oh, come on. And she handles those moments very well, like those very out there moments,
right?
I think. I've looked up what I was trying to think of.
Oh, okay.
It's Samurai Jack.
Oh, you did mention that, yeah.
IDW is bringing back Samurai Jack, which I'm very, very excited for. And I need a samurai with, like, the woman warrior and the Conan the Barbarian all together. That's what I need. And it works very much with Samurai Jack, because if you remember the cartoon, if you experienced it at all, did you ever watch it?
I did, yes.
Then you remember Jack was time traveling. He was, like, stuck in this other world where there were all these different, it seemed like, era pieces.
Right.
So he could fly right into something like Sonya and Conan and be like, oh, that's fine.
Right. That'd be awesome.
They could be fighting a coup, which would be amazing. All three of them versus a coup would be a fantastic story. So
let's make it happen.
I so hope so.
You know, it's interesting. We also have to mention not just Gale, but the talents of Walter Giovanni. I mean, this is really good art.
Oh, it's sick art. Oh, my gosh, yes. Not to spoil it, there is a two-page spread coming up for you, and you'll know it when you see it. And I was just like, it was jaw-dropping. So,
Now which cover did you get?
I got the cover B. I did not get the Nicola Scott, but I actually like the one I got. It's by Jenny Friesen.
Okay.
And I actually like hers better. That's just me.
I got the Amanda Connor one.
Oh, you're talking about for number one?
Yeah, for number one.
Oh, I don't have my number one with me right now. I don't remember which cover I snagged on that. I was talking about for number two. Sorry.
Gotcha. No problem. Yeah, there's all kinds of variants. Gale has sort of gotten a lot of the female artists and writers together for this type of thing. And she's making it a really cool place. Dynamite is a cool place to be right now. I don't know if you're planning on reading anything else they're doing, but they've got some really cool books going out. I love this King's Watch book. I'm really tempted to pick up by Jeff Parker. Have you seen that?
No.
It's with the Phantom, Flash Gordon, and Mandrake the Magician.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now it's coming. And that's Jeff Parker. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. That kind of looks like a good book. I like the Phantom. I used to read the little comic strips in the paper as a kid. Of course, most kids our age know about Flash Gordon. Not familiar with Mandrake the Magician, but I can kind of gather what he's about based on his title. I'm assuming he does magic. I don't know.
He does some Doctor Strangeness, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be killed for saying that, because this might be like the OG Doctor Strange for all I know.
Yeah.
So, and right, I just used OG with Doctor Strange. So, yeah, that's even further bastardization on my part.
Well, let's keep it in the red theme, and we'll talk about Red Lanterns, which I am not reading, but you are.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we met Mr. Charles Soule at HeroesCon, which we'll be talking about more in depth later.
So we start off with who's writing that first arc? I'm looking at it was Peter Milligan, who, if I'm correct, did a bunch of Shadow Pack work back for DC that I actually really enjoyed, and his run on Red Lanterns wasn't bad. I don't think it quite got what it deserved in reviews. It wasn't like the greatest thing ever, I'll admit that, but I thought it was solid, but it suffered from them. They kept putting it into all of these crossovers that Green Lantern hit with the new 52. There was like the Third Army and then the First Lantern, and it felt like he kept working on something and they kept resetting it, and it never got ground. I kind of feel bad because with the gentleman I can't pronounce his last name.
I'm guessing it's Soul.
Soul, yeah.
I'm just going to say it's
now,
Soul.
with his books leading into it, it feels very much like they gave him room to do what he wanted, because, spoiler here, Guy Gardner's hitting the ground. Now, a lot of people probably know that, but
right.
you know, some folks might be working on it. But it, Atrocitus feels very much to me, almost like a reverse Thanos in a way. Like all his people were killed by Manhunters, so he's really raged as to where Thanos wants to kill everyone, so he's raged.
Right.
So, and they talk a lot. The way their dialogue reads to me is very Thanos. Like Atrocitus' dialogue kind of matches up with it. So I've really been digging it because I like, I'm a pretty big fan of Thanos as far as villains go in the Marvel U. So, of course, I'm really liking what's going on over that way, too. But Red Lanterns has been solid. Dexstar, I'm hoping, gets more page time because he gets some here and there for a cat with a ring, you know. But
right.
just comes out to be the animal lover in me. and I will say that the Red Lanterns themselves are a very interesting core. Like, I really like a lot of the – like, Bleez is pretty cool. You've got – You've got the round Orbis guy.
the mad ball looking guy.
Yeah, Zox. Zoxzillus. He's really fun character. Stutter to get it out. But yeah, he's a lot of fun. So
who's the new guy with sort of the fiery looking head that they added before Charles took over?
He's the one Earth Red Lantern.
Okay.
The Rancor, as they're calling him.
Gotcha.
I'm probably saying it wrong, but I'm like, wait, didn't Luke kill you with the rock? And the nah, I don't know, but yeah, but it's pretty cool. They did, like, Milligan had a cool story going on with him, or was trying to get something treaded with him that I think Soul's going to carry. But Guy Gardner, I hope, stays a Red Lantern, and that might be blasphemous. He's my favorite Green Lantern, so it's kind of blasphemous for me to say I hope he stays a Red Lantern, but.
Right.
He makes a really good Red Lantern.
Well, Charles is relatively unknown. I don't want to say unknown. Apparently, he had a series called 27 by Image Comics. Are you familiar with that one?
I know.
Okay, that's apparently what he's best known for. And then he did some Archaea and Oni press work. But you know, all of a sudden, he explodes out of seemingly nowhere. He's doing Swamp Thing. He's doing Red Lanterns, and he's also doing Thunderbolts, which I've been reading and is excellent, as well as Swamp Thing.
They're actually, we were talking a little bit off the show here about Infinity,
mm-hmm.
and there's supposed to be a little crossoverness with Thunderbolts, so I'd like to hear your take on what happens there.
Okay, that's right. There is a little thing going on there. I think he mentioned that at HeroesCon. Super nice guy and very talented. Not only is he an author, but he's also a musician and an attorney. So,
well, he writes good. Now, I will say that, and maybe it was the fact that you gave me his recommendation, I don't know, but
right.
his lead in off of Red Lanterns is a little better, but I can't determine whether it's because the last, I don't know, all the way, the whole 20 issues they had, which dragged through all these crossovers,
right.
kind of shoehorn Milligan, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So if he had wanted to go other places and do other things, he was kind of shoehorned into mixing in with these crossover events, and I feel bad for that.
Right. Well, and I don't know if you have seen – I haven't seen this on the news. I must have missed it, but apparently this is according to Wikipedia now, so take it for what it means. But starting in October of 2013, he's going to be writing Superman Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow.
Illustrated by Tony Daniel. So, I mean, you know, you go from, you know, Swamp Thing, Red Lanterns, and then working over Marvel and Thunderbolts, and then they put you on a huge book, which is Superman Wonder Woman. So,
huh.
What a busy
I don't know
man.
How I feel about it. I kind of like when these guys, they're really good, and it kind of goes under the radar for a while, because once the publisher smells that talent, they tend to overtax their talent.
Yeah.
And
yeah, four books
is
a lot.
I guess I don't know how much decision it is for them for what they take on, whether they can say refuse it, or if it's such a big project they want the money so they go for it.
Right.
You know, but I kind of like when they get on things like Red Lanterns or Swamp Thing. that maybe have a, you know, a solid following, but they're definitely not these big names like Wonder Woman, Superman. Plus, I don't know what that's going to be about. All I can remember from recent times on Justice League was those two kissing, so
gotcha.
That was weird.
And now that I'm looking at the depth of his work, he's actually done quite a lot of independence. So if you guys are interested in him, look him up. Go to charlessoule.com. That's, you know, Charles spelled regularly. Soul is spelled S-O-U-L-E. He's done a lot of stuff, and seems like he's gonna continue to do so. So, we want to move on to talk about something else. What else has been on your pull list since the last 4 months? We talked about Star Wars Legacy.
Legacy's been really good, and we're not talking about the first one with Luke's descendant. This is going into,
right.
I'm guessing, Han and Leia's offspring.
Yeah,
and
like a great-great-granddaughter.
Way down the line. Not their direct kids or anything, but like, great-great, way down the line.
Right.
And it's like, isn't it Anya?
Anya
Solo.
Or Anaya, one of those two, yeah.
Solo, and then like her and this great... calamari sidekick she's got, who I adore.
The goldfish really looking cool. One, yes.
He's kind of like her IT guy, which I can appreciate. And then she's got like the assassin bot with her, one of the IGs.
Yep.
And then you've got some really good Sith and Jedi in this book that are fleshed out pretty well, and I'm loving it, so...
Yeah, it's been pretty good. I learned about this book from, I believe, the iFanboy podcast, which I listened to, and they gave it high recommendations, and I thought, well, this will be different for me to actually read a Star Wars book. I'm a Star Wars fan, but I've never been able to get into the comics, and this one's far enough away in the future for me to not have all the sort of thoughts of Star Wars past that kind of get in the way.
Right. Now, are you reading Star Wars by Brian Wood or no?
No, I've heard it's really good. It hasn't made my list for whatever reason.
It is really good. But I think I like Legacy a little more because of what you just mentioned. It's a very fine line you start walking when you're dealing with past events.
Right.
And filling in those gaps. Now, when you're dealing with like an offset future, it's more free. In your mind, when you're reading it, you're not making constraints, which you may, you know, unintentionally be doing for these characters that you've known and grown up with. You don't have that constriction when reading something in the far-off future.
Right.
So, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's definitely one you guys should check out. And I don't have it in front of me, so I can't say I want to give credit to it. Maybe start talking a little bit about Brian Wood's X-Men, and I'll look up the Legacy so we can give credit where credit's due.
Brian Wood's X-Men is, out of the work I've read from him, I never read DMZ, which I heard was amazing, and didn't he do Scalped, or was that someone else I'm thinking of? I think that was someone else.
I thought that was Jason Aaron.
Yeah, that's Aaron. Okay, that's, which, by the way, yeah, he's awesome too. We'll talk about that perhaps, but I didn't read the DMZ stuff that came out of Vertigo that I heard was really a great book. I started off with, I guess, his Conan work and then his Star Wars stuff recently. But his X-Men is like, I don't even know how to describe it, because it's like everything I've wanted and not known that I needed. Like, it really takes me back to being 8 years old again.
Wow.
It's... just I mean, to break it down, I mean, and I didn't expect to like that title as much, because it's not dealing with any of my favorites per se in the X-Men. It's just doing X women mostly that I've known, but doing them so well and doing it better maybe than they've ever been done to me that I just can't. Like, all I can do is I don't usually reread mainstream comics. Like, there's not a lot of mainstream that's good to me, I guess. That it's that good that I go back and I have to look through it and reread it, but this X-Men has been that.
Okay, well, I gotta ask you, if you took, because I'm reading all new X-Men and Uncanny X-Men, I believe you are as well.
I am,
and I haven't picked up X-Men yet, and I want to, But if you had to axe one of those three, would you?
I would do it after the Battle for the Atom crossover event, which is going to have all those titles in one mini that you would have to pick up.
Gotcha.
And then after that, what would I kill? That's very hard.
Yeah.
Because
I have to axe something, you know, because I'm starting to get into this situation where I'm like adding, and nothing seems to be falling, so I got to make some hard choices again.
It's definitely going to come down to, okay, you're asking between All New and between Uncanny?
Yeah, because, I mean, if I'm enjoying Uncanny and I'm enjoying All New X-Men, but if X-Men is that good, I'd be willing to drop one of those two.
It's so hard to make that decision right now because they've both been treading water.
Yeah.
Trying to get up to this event, which why they don't just get to the event, I don't know. Maybe they weren't ready. One book wasn't ready. I think Brian Wood's book maybe wasn't ready because it's the newer one.
Okay.
And they were probably like Bendis Stahl, write some fluffer. That's probably a very bad, a filler issues. Write some filler issues.
Unfortunately, it means that there's 12 or 13 filler issues for All New X-Men.
I make up these things in my mind and I have no idea. I think I make up scenarios of what happens. Like, oh, hey, Brian, we need you to write a few issues that just don't go anywhere. And I have no idea if that's what actually happens while they're waiting for Brian to catch up for to at least get him his team established so they can go into a crossover.
Right.
Which some books don't even wait for that, so I guess bless them for that. But at the same time, I bought other comics that felt just like they were going in a circle for a minute.
Now, this is going to bring back Nightcrawler, isn't it?
No, that's going to be in yet another X-Men title, which I know it's getting crazy. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this one is Amazing X-Men.
That's right, yeah. Gosh. Killing me.
Yeah, it starts the search for Nightcrawler, which... I'm very happy that Jason Aaron is handling this. His Thor, he just finished up. I just read today his finish for his Gore the God Butcher line that he was doing. And for someone that's as into metal as I am into, and someone who's a fan of Thor,
right?
You couldn't ask for a better. If you said Perfect Storm again, and I had to answer a second time, aside from George Clooney and his Dapper Dan hair product, I would have to say Jason Aaron and Thor are like a perfect storm in my book, because it is like you can hear the Mastodon and the amount of wrath that is playing while he writes this. You can hear it as you read it. I mean, it's just that good.
Nice.
There's rainbows and lightning. It's like Dio pooted, and there is a comic.
Oh, man.
That's terrible.
Well,
we can edit this, right?
No. Yeah, no, absolutely not. No. I found the Star Wars Legacy people. So let's give credit here. Writers Corina Becco and Gabriel Hardman, who is also doing the pencils. And then colorist Rachel Rosenberg, cover artist Dave Wilkins. This is a Dark Horse comics book, obviously.
As For how long?
As long as they have Star Wars. Yeah, exactly. Who knows what will happen eventually, when their license runs out or whatever it is. They've done a great job with it. Like I said, I haven't read a lot of it, but heck, it's been going on forever.
If they keep the same creative teams when they move over to Marvel, which they undoubtedly, I guess, will be doing, since that's also, you know, that's the Disney deal.
Right.
I don't know, I could be wrong on that. They could do their own imprint, I guess. I don't know. But if they keep the same teams, I'll still follow it and see how constrictive the editors become, if at all.
Right.
And then, but if they scrap it and they make a totally new series, I will definitely be waiting to see what the other folks maybe think of the Kool-Aid before jumping into that pool.
Gotcha.
I don't have the faith that I've had in Dark Horse, who has put out, not everything's been stellar, but they've had a pretty solid Star Wars run, and some of it's been epic. So okay. It's sad to see them get robbed of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They will. They will survive. They will.
That's depressing Neil's story. Welcome to the show. You're going to want to start drinking immediately, apparently. I do, but you know.
Yeah, I know you do. Okay, so let's move on from what were we talking about? What we're reading. And we'll go to a little special feature here. Neil and I went to the Heroes Con a few months back now. Gosh, how long has it been? 2 months?
3 months? That was June, right?
Yeah, I guess it was June. Yeah. So the Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. I just spent a day and a half there. Neil spent the whole shebang. So before we go into the special feature, let's talk about our sponsors. StashMyComics.com, obviously a great site. I really like to thank Igor for sticking with me. He's the webmaster there. When I started the podcast, he was like, yeah, let's do it. And then I had to end it, and he's like, that's fine. And then I bring it back, and they've been very patient with us, so thank you for that.
Thank you guys very much. Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. And it's all my fault for moving, I feel like. I know you moved too, but I moved like and got a new job, and it's been crazy.
What's wrong
so
with you? What, bettering yourself? Come on.
Well, you know, but I mean, bettering myself would be putting this out like every day. That's been, so.
I don't know if that would work. We are gonna try to do a weekly, and if not, I'm at least shooting for like 3 times a month. What do you think?
I'm so awesome with that, and if you want to do more, I'll go for it.
Okay.
So.
All right, and also we got to thank our local comic book shop, The Little Cabin on the Hill, B&D Comics, B&DComics.com.
It's, you know, maple syrup and comics should never go together, but every time I go into the amazing place that B&D is, I feel like since it is a log cabin, I should be having some pancakes.
Yeah.
But you should never do that. You should never walk in. As a matter of fact, you should not have food and drink there. But for some reason, I'm like, I need some pancakes. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, next time we go, we should eat some pancakes and then go over there.
All right, it's on.
Okay, if we don't fall asleep.
Yeah, you know.
That could happen.
Extra sugar, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pour sugar on top of the syrup.
All right, well, on to the special feature after this message from our sponsor.
1, 2, 3. StashMyComics.com is the leading free online interactive comic book database. Catalog your comics and track prices, character, and creator appearances. Follow the daily blog reviews, editorials, and a weekly podcast. Connect with other fans through member reviews and discussion forums. Keep abreast of site updates on Twitter at StashMyComics and find us on Facebook. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
Nailed it.
All right, so Heroes Con, Charlotte, North Carolina. Neil and I went. Maybe some of you went there too and we just didn't see you. Sorry about that.
Well,
we had a good time.
I was too busy spending all my money.
Yeah. Neil was going broke, and by the time I got there, he's like, I don't have any more money, help me. You know,
it's all David Peterson's fault. I finally got original artwork from David Peterson.
That's right, and it's beautiful.
Life's quest has been fulfilled. That's it.
Well, let's talk about some other people we've met there. Go ahead and drop your name. This was the guy who did the Hulk sketch for you?
I had a guy who did an awesome Hulk sketch. He, I noticed him because he was wearing a basket case shirt. For any of you that were into fan of like 80s horror or any horror in general, I was like, wow, this guy's like rocking a basket case shirt. So I went over to his table and I was like, wow, he's drawing really cool monsters. So he's got to be a fan of horror with the shirt and the drawings. And we talked for a while. He's got a book coming out now I need to find out the publisher, but it's called Sebastian Hawks. And it's about a monster hunter. And I mean, his monsters, if you're into BPRD, it feels very dark, the inks and everything that he does, and the pencils and the shadows. He's very much from that school of monster drawing.
Right.
And so he also had like the sick Judge Dredd print that I didn't pick up then, but I've actually kept a rapport going on with this gentleman on Facebook, and I was like, man, it'd be great if you had a store. I really should have bought that print. And he the same day opens the store and is like, all right. And so I bought a couple of prints. I couldn't just buy one. I bought one for me and our mutual friend Chris, Chris Lopez.
Yeah.
And but he's a very nice gentleman. He's done, I think, some mainstream work here and there. I'm not sure what, but his indie stuff looks like it's going to be fantastic.
Now, Dave, what's his last name?
Chris Dabari.
I'm sorry, Chris Dabari.
Yep.
What was I thinking?
Dave? Christian's his full name. Christian Dabari. And he does, I think he's got a few other projects on the burner there, but definitely look him up on Facebook, check his stuff out.
Okay, it looks like your book's going to be on IDW here, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, I thought they were with an indie, and I guess it's supposed to be just a graphic novel.
Right. It's, Sebastian Hawkes, Christian Dabari, IDW's artist, upcoming Australian comic book, Sebastian Hawkes.
Right. I could have swore he was saying there was an indie. There might be an IDW artist, but I don't know about publisher.
Hmm.
Anyway, ask your local comic retailer for it, and perhaps they can get that going for you from Diamond, because I believe it's supposed to be carried by Diamond, as I got from him. And that everybody knows that's the comic... that's the comic mafia, that you don't really have anybody else that sources out comics on a main across the world such as Diamond, so as far as distributors go.
Correct. Sorry.
I cannot speak today.
Sorry.
It's getting Diamond back into it a little bit here.
Okay.
but yes, I'm he's been one of the nicest gentlemen I've ever met at a Comic Con. Maybe the nicest, but it's hard to beat Jeff Smith. Just because I've never had someone of that renown just give me things, because right. I was like, oh, I wished I had that. Well, here, have it. Okay.
Let's talk about another person we met there, because you're reading the X-Files Season 10, correct?
Yes, sir.
An IDW publishing book written by Joe Harris, who we met in... super nice guy, and he sold me on his image book, which is The Great Pacific. And you're reading that as well, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Loving them both.
the way I said that, I was like, you're reading that too. Yeah, okay.
Well, it was because, and you should maybe feel a little bitter, because I kind of tested it out on you.
No.
Like he gave you the pitch, and you were like, And I was like, well, if he reads it and he likes it, then I'm going to buy it. So I put all the pressure in your corner.
No, I don't know why I sounded that way. I did buy the first, I guess it was for 1 through 6. He had like $10 or something. And then I got 7. I haven't been continuing, it's more of a money thing. But really enjoyed what I read. And like you said, you're reading the X-Files stuff. How has that been so far?
It's been, I've really found he really finds the characters' voices for me. This is a slight spoiler. He brings back certain folks from the dead. He does it in a very interesting way. But as far as I can remember, because I haven't watched the X-Files in a while, but I can remember a bit, certain folks you thought died and would come back. Some folks have been a little bit put off by the bringing back, but this is the comic world. Let's get serious.
Right.
I get it. This isn't superheroics, but still, you wouldn't want the book without those characters. And as a matter of fact, the show should have never have killed a lot of the characters that come back off.
Right.
They're basically, for me, what it feels like is making up for the last seasons or so that didn't have Mulder. Which weren't horrible, but it wasn't Mulder, so it wasn't the greatest either.
Right.
It was Doggett, and Doggett makes an appearance in here. I don't know how long he's going to be in there or whatnot. I won't ruin anything more than that, but It feels like they're trying to keep everybody in the ball field and retain the best qualities that maybe they brought to the show.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't. I've seen some of the X-Files. I'm not like a huge X-File fan, so that's why I wouldn't have picked up something like that. But interesting to note, as I drop something.
That sounded amazing. It sounded like the Foot Clan just busted into your house and you were about to put on your Casey Jones mask and house them.
Oh, man.
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's all okay. It's all okay. Just dropped the remote. he did write Vampirella vs. Dracula, which I've actually read some of, in 2012. He also took over for Gail Simone during the whole Firestorm debacle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He wrote issues 7 through 12, which I guess ended that series, didn't it? I think it stopped at 12.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy. I started out kind of wanting to read it just because Gail was on it, and then I really didn't like it very much, and then at some point they went all Green Lantern on Firestorm and had like millions of Firestorms around the world, and that's when it really kind of got crazy.
That sounds nuts.
Yeah, there was multiple Firestorms. And I was like, this is a little kind of like what they did to Blue Beetle, which I know you were enjoying, but it's like, does everything have to turn into like, you know, a team thing? Can we not just have one Blue Beetle?
Yeah. Well, Beetle ended up being part of this alien race where there were many like scarabs,
right,
which was weird to me anyway. I'll never like Jaime over Ted Kord because yeah. Ted Kord was basically, it was just him.
Yeah.
He had the scarab. It didn't do anything for him. He was a self-made hero.
Right.
You know? And he wasn't dark and grim about it. He had a lot of bad crap happen to him, but it wasn't like with Daredevil or like Batman where they get all mopey. He just took it on the cheek, you know? Took it on the chin.
Yep.
And was like, even though my best friend is still a bastard, Booster Gold. Sorry, didn't mean to drop the words here, but it's going to happen.
I can see.
And I love Booster Gold for his own reasons and merits, but when that's your best friend and the world keeps putting you on teams like the Justice League International, yeah, you keep a smile on your face, there's something special about you. So
yeah,
and I'm looking here, and it was a different publisher for that. It's called Diesel Punk for the Sebastian Hawks. It's a Diezel Punk. And I'm guessing IDW, you saw IDW artists now? I don't, that's weird.
I said what?
I thought you said something about IDW artists or something being involved in Sebastian Hawks or no?
Oh, potentially being the publisher. I couldn't get a confirmation on that, but.
Okay. Well, no, just to clear it up, Chris Tabari is drawing this.
Right.
And Wolf, the director of Wolf Creeks. Wolf Creek, rather.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'd seen that. I might have seen that. Actually started this project and crowdfunded it,
okay.
It looks like. So I love Sasquatches and Yetis, and his print was like this, this guy who's just like brandishing his fists at this huge Yeti of a Sasquatch beach, like coming out of a mountain.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a book I'll read. So if you like monster stories, I mean, he draws monsters like no other. That's why I thought of my favorite monster from mainstream, the Hulk, for him to draw.
Right.
And we, you know, he's not big into the, I didn't get a sense that he loved the mainstream too much. I don't know. I could be wrong. But I was like, what do you think of the Hulk? And he was like, well, if, you know, as we're talking mainstream, he's one of my favorites. I think it was kind of what he felt.
Right.
So. And that could be, that's what I gathered from our short meeting.
Yeah.
But he's been nothing but a gentleman and an awesome guy. I mean, no one really talks to you after a con like he has me on Facebook. I met some folks, and not that I want them to be my buddy. I've only met them at a con.
Right.
But he carries a rapport with you, and I think he does this with a lot of his maybe fans that he gets at these things. Of just being your everyday Joe that loves the industry as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's putting out a great product, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's got some talent. And that's what's nice about going to the cons is meeting some of these people that you're like, you can almost peg some of these people like, oh, I'm going to be seeing that guy in Marvel or DC or Image here eventually. And it's nice to meet them early on and help support them. And you feel like you sort of have a hand in their success, you know.
I was so tempted to try and kidnap Jason Aaron's beard, but thought better of it because after reading his works, a part of me believes that, like, Volstagg will come out and, like, totally just clean my clock, like, come out forth from his beard, like, hit me with a picture or a flagon of ale, and there goes Neil. That's all she wrote. The stain on the side of Volstagg's, like, flagon. Is that a real word?
I don't know. I think you just made that up.
I don't know.
Well, on a totally different note, Alex Price was there, who draws, famous for drawing the My Little Pony series. I got some awesome sketches for my kids, so I was happy there. What else did we see there?
It was super nice. Oh, I met Jeremy Bastion, who does The Dread Pirate Girl.
Oh, yeah.
That's a crazy book.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to check that out, I highly recommend it. And now, I don't think that comes in a single issue format.
Oh, that was that one with all the... Yeah, that had some crazy, like, intricate detail. Wasn't that the black and white?
And I watched him work on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like, some it was crazy just, stuff.
It was nuts. Like, I met the Cursed Pirate Girl. So I said Dread Pirate Girl, like Dread Pirate Roberts, but it's Cursed Pirate Girl.
Gotcha.
And I was watching him, and David Peterson, who everybody knows, yes, that's my favorite deal, is Mouse Guard, and I can't help but love it. But this guy was winning me over to his booth because he was putting all this work into his... And they've actually collaborated together in Legends of the Guard, those two. Hmm. And David Peterson just laughed and was like, it only gets worse. And he was saying that I think this guy's got an OCD about him, Jeremy Bastion, that he has to put all this work around his drawings. And, you know, it's almost like David Peterson was taking pleasure in that man's pain. But right. Which, I don't think so, but it was just really funny. It was a weird comment.
Yeah, it's the kind of stuff that you can literally take one of his pages and just stare at it for like 10, 15 minutes, and you still won't take in every little detail that's drawn. It's that detailed. Obsessive
it reminded
almost.
Me very much of The Little Prince, that 80s movie, and very much more so, it was in my head and it leapt right out, Baron Munchausen.
Ah.
Like the odd faces and giant-headed people and just weirdness that's really not explained. That's just how this world is. And I've put it down on my list anytime it comes out. I love that hardcover rough page format that it had. And it's just different from your norm. So yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's definitely something that I want to see. I'm going to pull a Great Pacific on you and be like, hey, let me see what you got. And then I'll pick it up if I like it.
Okay. Well, I'll let you try it out then.
Okay.
And
maybe we'll
give
do
it
that
a shot.
For the swap. You want to do that for the swap?
Sure. I mean, okay. It's a little longer of a read, but that's fine.
Yeah. And then I'll give you something. I don't know. I don't know what I got. Okay. I got something. Hey, we should review I definitely want to get you a copy of the Flashpoint movie, the new DC animated feature that was put out.
Right.
Based upon the Flashpoint series. So maybe we can touch on that next week if we can get together and
that'd be super
that
sweet.
Off. Yeah. I've got the DVD and the Blu-ray, so I can just give you one of those and you can have
just
at it.
Just said super sweet. I don't
super sweet.
Super sweet? Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Time I drank coffee before the podcast.
Yeah. Last time I dropped That's remotes and stuff. That was really loud.
It's all good.
Yeah. All right. Well, we hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hopefully we weren't too rusty for you. We're getting back into the swing of things. Hopefully we're going to be coming back to you once a week. And if there's anything you want to add or talk to us about, be sure to go to the forums on StashMyComics.com. Or if you go to the StashMyComics.com and find the podcast, you can comment right under there. You can also email us at info@8forcomics.com. What else we got? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. That's all we got. And we almost went an hour, so that's good too.
Rock and roll.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for sticking in there with us, and we hope to have some more great content your way.
Be excellent to each other. Sorry, I had to go with Bill and Ted. Yeah.
Be excellent to each other, read some comics, and all that.
All right.
Okay. Bye. See you next time.
Thank you, guys. See you. Thank you.